Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Chelsea Stratton from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And today, this podcast is airing Monday, May 9th. We're in a new month here, so that's really exciting. I feel like it's just zooming on by.
I can't believe it's May. I just can't believe it.
And you can feel it in the weather, too.
Yes.
It's been kind of hot here again. So.
Yeah, we're back in the 90s.
Yep, we're back in the 90s.
I guess we should enjoy the 90s because of what's coming, right?
I know.
So.
But enough of the weather, you guys. Yes. Mom is going to share her quilt. And we haven't seen these quilts.
No.
On the podcast yet, but they're old quilts.
Yes, and I'll tell you what happened. So shortly before the pandemic, I did an event at the Christmas Goose Quilt Shop in Las Vegas, and Andrea, who owns that shop, kitted these quilts, and so she had them at her store on display, and I just got them back. So they've been gone, and it was so fun to get them back. And so on the wall is Weekender, and it's in our Harper's Garden collection. Actually, both of these quilts are Harper's Garden fabric collection quilts. And yeah, on the wall, it's just a mini charm pack and honey buns. And it just is such a fun quilt to put together. It was a Motobox quilt kit.
I remember just, that.
Yeah, just love that quilt. And I'm so happy to have it home here hanging in the podcast studio. And then on the table is Summer Shores. And this one was actually first published in American Patchwork and Quilting. And then I did a pattern for it after separately. And this is a fat quarter quilt. And at least 20 fat quarters. You could mix it up even more. As I've been sitting here looking at it, I've even been thinking you could do these little sections in a contrast fabric. There's so many fun things you could do with this quilt. And both of these quilts were quilted by Marion Bott, and just two unique, really fun quilting designs on them.
I love this orange peel because it's like a double orange peel.
Yeah.
It's got like the double ring around it.
Yeah, I don't think she's used this in a while, and I just didn't have this quilt out for a while. So
yeah,
I love it.
I love both of them.
So thank you. So it was fun to have some new quilts to share that are old quilts, right?
It's really cool too, because you're making so many quilts, and this fabric line was, it really feels like a long time ago. And so to be able to whip these out is like, whoa, blast from the past.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. Do you have any other quilts that are floating around in any other shops?
Yeah, Mom.
Someday you might get back here.
I think I have most of them back. I think Andrea still has one. It's one of my really old patterns, but it's really kind of unique, and she still has a sample on the wall.
Oh, awesome.
And still has those patterns, so.
Oh, that's cool.
I think she might just have one, and I think I've gotten everything back from everyone else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Love the quilts.
Thank you.
It is also, I just want to note, like, our journey of slightly changing our backgrounds, because this was the true ivory.
Yeah.
The Bella ivory.
The Bella 60.
Yes. Yeah. And then we moved up to the Bella porcelain, and now with our Emma collection is the Bella 200.
Right.
So it's just kind of different to see the warmness of these quilts. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so I actually have a new find to share today. My husband and I were able to take a little vacation over the weekend and go down to Southern California. And it was a little bit of a quilting trip, just because I took some quilts and some fabrics to donate to a guild down there that Chelsea and I had visited recently. I think I talked about this recently. This guild, just the Beach Cities Quilters Guild, does a lot of quilt donations, and I was just so impressed by them. So I took them some quilts too that they can donate. And anyway, we were staying at the hotel, and we had never been to the gift shop in that hotel, and we've stayed there for several years while our son was going to college down there. And for some reason, we decided to walk over to the gift shop, and My husband was looking for a t-shirt, and he's always so looking for t-shirts. He actually got 5 t-shirts on this trip. Yeah, because we found another shop after. But anyway, so we were talking to the gentleman who was in the store, and he mentioned that his wife designed one of the t-shirts that Dad was purchasing. And we were like, oh, that's so cool. And so he said, oh, well, let me tell you a little bit about my wife's business. And it was just so inspiring. Her business is called Montana's Heart, named after her daughter who has Down syndrome.
Oh, my goodness.
And she is just the mom is just a really great advocate for positivity. And I looked up her Instagram, and she just shares a lot of really inspirational quotes and self-care. And then it's kind of mixed in with her daughter and her journey to, you know, create a beautiful life for her daughter. And so if you, I mean, you could follow her if you're just interested in positivity, or if you have someone with Down syndrome in your life, I feel like that would be a great account to follow. Yeah. As well. And she does design clothing that they had in the gift shops, and she has them in other shops as well. And it was just so fun to see this man's, you know, love for his family and just to see another small business.
I'm so glad Dad bought one of the t-shirts. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah. And I couldn't figure it out because all of the shirts had, you know, Dana Point, but then some of them said Montana's Heart. And I was like, what does Montana have to do with Dana Point, California? But then he explained it all. So
that's awesome.
I thought that was really, it was just kind of a fun find this weekend. So we were happy that we stopped in and talked to him.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay.
All right. Well, new?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to put this in the episode because this is the first time we're recording since we recorded our last two episodes. So episode 53, which that's the episode where we went sort of back in your lives and saw the beginnings of your quilting life to where it is now and looking in the future. And then, so let's start with that. So I think the first reaction is that Chelsea talked about her first quilt, and I sort of forced it out of you to talk about it, and anyway, we put a link to it, and then we popped a picture up of that quilt into the video. And how did that reaction to your first quilt go, Chelsea?
It was awesome. And so let me just preface this with Billy and I had a conversation after that video was after the podcast went live, you know, and on YouTube. And Billy kind of mentioned, like, oh, you know, how was the reaction to the moon and back? And I never, it was odd for me to even mention this, but I was just like, I told Billy, I was like, I cried. Like, and it was just really, really cool for me because I went through and I read and people went and bought the pattern, and that like made my heart burst because I really was. It was like, I didn't even know what to say when Billy was questioning me about it on that podcast.
Yeah. You could tell that you were like, stop. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. So many reservations because I still had that thing inside of me that was like, no, it wasn't good enough, blah, blah, blah. And then I went through and I did this to myself. I went through and read the comments, and I'm sitting there like a babbling ball of emotion. And the comments were so uplifting and encouraging. Like, some people were like, yes, you know, a smaller size would be so awesome. I have a grandson who would love this, you know, and the feedback was just great. And it reminds me how important having a community is, and just, you guys warmed my heart. and even we were coming back from a St. George trip that I took some time off work, and we took our kids to St. George with some friends. And I'm like sitting in the truck crying, and my husband is, what is going on with you? And I'm like, you wouldn't believe all these kind things people are saying. And I didn't know how much I needed that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of a little space in my heart that you all have created. So
So you're going to do a wall hanging lap quilt version, right?
I am.
Next collection?
And yes, okay. I can confirm it. It's designed.
All right.
And I actually can show you a picture today. Oh. And it turned out really cute. There's a few fine-tune things I need to do to it since I sized it down.
Right.
But I'm still, it's almost done. It's basically designed.
Oh, fun. And then I wanted to just, on that same line, Dad listens to all of our podcasts and video, watches all the videos and everything. And so I was in the kitchen and I actually came around the corner and he was listening to that, watching that episode. And it was right in the point when we were talking about how he bought that pattern.
Let me guess. He started crying.
He did. And I'm like, Bill, are you an, no, I'm not. But, but then I realized what was on the screen. And then I was like, oh my goodness.
My dad and I are one and the same. We are both very much alike. So full of emotion.
Oh. So yeah, that was fun.
That is sweet.
Okay. And I guess since I have the floor here, I'll go on too. About episode 54.
54, yeah.
I have received 3 emails in the past 2 to 3 days about that episode, what was saving our lives. So I just want to read a few things because I haven't shared this with Billy and Chelsea. So I just want to read a few of these comments.
And there were some really nice comments in the YouTube comment.
Should we have tissues?
Yeah. So this first one, hi, Sherry, Chelsea, and Billy. I would just like to thank you all for bringing joy into my daily life. I started watching your podcast from day one whilst I was a part-time worker, and through COVID, this was a lifesaver. I went full-time last summer, so I haven't always been able to catch your podcast with changes in routines and adapting to my new role. But I've just come back from a week's holiday on the south coast of England, and work is a lot calmer. And whilst working today, I have had time to listen to this week's podcast, and you have put a huge smile on my face. The last topic was brilliant. What saves you? And I have to agree with Billy on this, that my dog has brought me true joy over this last year after a very tough and long day at work, and coming home to my cockapoo jumping up at me, wagging her tail to greet me, helps ease away all the troubles of the day. I am also blessed with having craft as my de-stress. So between quilting, cross-stitching, and knitting, this saves me every day as well. And that's Maria from the UK. And I just loved that.
Yeah.
And then I have 2 more.
That's so sweet.
Teresa said, hi, Sherry, Chelsea, and Billy. Thank you so much for such a wonderful video that you posted on Monday. I thoroughly enjoyed it and laughed along with you, Chelsea. Your expressions and laughter are priceless. The banter between the three of you just made my day, and I really needed it. I also really enjoyed the information that you provided. Thank you for all the time and effort that you put into making your videos. I really appreciate all of them. And that was Teresa, like I mentioned. And then this last one, let's see. She says that she enjoys my blog, my quilts, patterns. It has been a real pleasure to root for you as your quilting business grows in, I think, a very organic way, yet with an intention and hard work. Chelsea is an amazing young woman, talented designer, teacher, and quilter, plus so fun to listen to. Her commitment to her family while she discovers her own creativity reminds me and probably several of your listeners of our own lives during that very full time of life. But when Billy talked about his new job during the What is Saving Our Lives segment, brilliant, and how much happier he is on a less stressful routine, time with his dog, sleeping better, being more protective, etc. I said, wow. So yay and hooray for all of you getting to carve out a creative, more fulfilled life that contributes to a happier and more productive life. In turn, I really appreciate the inspiration I get by learning new skills, watching your videos, and listening to your podcast. You have something very special, and I love having a small part supporting that with great admiration and thanks, Barbara. And then she, at the end, she says, P.S. love all the podcasts and have listened multiple times, but 54 was a favorite. I usually listen to unwind, but this time I was busy taking notes.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great? Well,
thank you to everyone.
Yes. And I love that, how she's like, yay and hooray.
Yeah. I was really appreciative of those emails. It's been a busy, busy week. Hardworking week. And so it's really great to get that those nice emails.
And it's also good to hear all this feedback from those, because they were a little different.
Yeah.
Both of the episodes, one just more interviewing you guys, and then the second one going off topic a little bit away from quilting, but still, relating it just to life and everything. And I have to add, from things I saw, I wanted to also say thank you for all the kind words about my dog, because
there was so many comments.
When I went in to put the pictures into it, I was like, I couldn't decide which one to do. So I just kept adding. I made like a little montage of the time I'm talking.
Chelsea let me know about that before I watched it.
I caught mom and I was like, hey, FYI, Billy starts talking about Jack and there's the cutest picture. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. And then it like fades to another. And then it fades to another. And I was like, there's more pictures of his dog than of our quilts on here.
That's true. I was trying to find different things that we've done, hikes and trips.
They were all
and
great
baseball
pictures.
Games. I don't know. So that's it. Yeah, but I probably got a little carried away. So
Jack's claim to fame, you guys.
I do thank everyone for those. And then I also found it interesting. It also reaffirmed some people are like, school starts at 7 o'clock where you're at. I've never heard of that. Like school starts at 9 o'clock where I'm from, or 8:30. And so that was good to hear that some other places
have felt the same.
They have different start times. And then one last thing, I thought me mentioning the internet was a little like who cares about your internet speed, Billy, but somebody also left a comment about like
I saw that.
How important, especially living in a rural community, if before high speed internet was available, like basically with the way the world is now, if you didn't have good internet in different places, you're left in the dark in a lot of ways. And so they were just talking. So I was like, oh, even someone noted the internet speed.
Yeah, it is a real blessing. On the school start time too, I thought of something. I didn't mention that when we talked about it, but somebody told me at one time, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that the reason Clark County School District in Las Vegas has those early start times was initially so that high school students could get out of school and go work in the hotels because they needed that extra labor, whether they were working at the pool or busing tables or, some of those types of jobs that high school students could do in the casino industry. And so
that makes sense. Yeah. But now, especially working, I mean, kids don't really work in that industry at all. They're filled by adults.
Right. Yeah. No, when I was in high school, though, lots of kids I went to school with
were working
in the hotels at for their job after school. So that makes sense.
It does. Might be time to adjust it.
Yeah. Yeah. Move that start time down. So.
And then one last thing for our new news. This is a long time, but there is a, we wanted to put a little preview or whatever that another sewing project with me is coming down the pipeline, maybe this summer.
It is, you guys.
And it's going to be with Chelsea this time instead of my mom. So.
And
I can't wait to watch.
A teaser. That's what I was trying to think of.
I hope people enjoy the dynamic of Billy and I doing a project together.
Yeah. Working on some new skills, trying to build my arsenal of sewing skills.
Yeah.
I'm already coming up with amazing ideas.
Oh, and also just while we're on our book, Home for the Holidays, actually arrived early. It wasn't supposed to arrive until June. We both got our author copies.
Yes.
And you can order and they will ship right out to you.
Yep.
You can order
right away
from both of our Etsy shops, and we are both going to sign each other's books so that you can get copies with signatures, and you can also purchase on Amazon.
Yeah.
Also, Seashore Drive is shipping. We both have some fun things in our shops if you want to go and browse both of our shops. If you're in the States, I guess, only for... And if you're not in the United States, I know Fat Quarter Shop ships internationally.
Yes.
And so...
Yeah, lots of fun things. And now that that's finally here, we are so happy. Yes.
Yeah. And if you're in Canada, I feel like Seashore Drive arrived in Canada a little bit earlier than here. So you should be able to go to your local quilt shop in Canada if they ordered it and get it there.
Yeah, because we have some shop owner friends up there that were posting that they had received it. So
yeah. Oh, I just love Kayla. We probably should do an episode and just show Kayla's quilts that she's made with our fabric.
Kayla is awesome. She is wonderful and is always making something new with our fabric lines.
Yes.
She is awesome. I love her.
We should have her on the podcast.
I know. I know.
That would be fun.
It would be really fun. And honestly, I think it'd be really fun to, have a shop owner's perspective on the podcast anyways.
Ooh. I'm going to reach out to her.
Okay. Kayla, if you're listening.
I might have already emailed you by the time you hear this. Okay.
All right. So with all that, we have a main topic today. We have sort of a backup one if we need it. But as I presented a couple topics to my mom and sister, they really liked the idea of this one. And they said they could talk about it for a while. So we will see.
Oh, we can.
So the topic I presented to them was creating an ideal sewing setting. And there's a few different things to this. I would say right now, and there's videos of both my mom's sewing studio and Chelsea's sewing studio that we've talked about before too. And we're going to be doing an updated one of my mom's because she's had so much work done in there just recently. And even a few more things came at the end of it. So that's why the video still isn't out yet. But that will be coming up within the next month or so. So I would say, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Mom, but I feel like you've really created, at least physically, your like ultimate sewing studio at this point in your life.
It's about there. So appreciate our carpenter who just, he's really incredible. I was able to give him my ideas and then he took them a step further and made them all better than my ideas.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. A great blessing.
So like you're into that point and like you said, it's a blessing and you've worked hard to grow and everything. But that wasn't always the case. And we've mentioned that before. And we also had Jenny Doan on the podcast once and she mentioned, I just started sewing on the kitchen table. And I think there's a lot of people out there, a lot of quilters that they just have to make do with whatever space they have. And you were in that boat at one point. And Chelsea, I know you were in that boat at one point as well, not having any type of designated area. So I was thinking, you can obviously describe what would be your ideal sewing space. And maybe Mom, you already have that, or maybe there is other things you would like. But then also you could talk about tips that you guys could share with other quilters as you were raising four kids and just finding places to quilt. And what are still some things that are important to have or designate when you sit down to actually sew and quilt?
Yeah.
So I don't know who wants to start or where you want to start.
I know. Do you want to go first?
I'm actually going to go first because I was, when Billy called me about this topic, I was really excited because actually a few days prior, I had seen a post on Instagram talking about this same thing, how you don't need to have this giant, you don't need this giant space. Like Jenny Doan said, you can start on your kitchen table. It's just making, what works. And that's how it starts. And that's how it started for me. Like mine has changed so much. But I think I'll just dive into the journey of mine really quick, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Is that kind of okay?
Yeah.
So when I first started sewing, I didn't have like a sewing table. I didn't have, really anything. So I was just starting from scratch. And I did. I started sewing a little bit out in the kitchen because I was trying to find the balance of being able to keep an eye on three children while I was trying to sew. Right. And so I thought, well, what's the best way for me to do this? And someone had said, well, I sew on my kitchen table. So, I'm with my kids while I'm doing it. And that's kind of where I started. But it just wasn't functional for me because I had to pick everything back up and I was trying to be really careful with all the tools with three children running around. And
like, did you store the machine and all your tools in a closet or something? Yes. So every time you'd have
every
to get them out,
time.
Put them out and yes. then put them away.
Yep. Okay. And I had bins, plastic bins, and I would carry like all of my notions out in a bin or whatever. But we have this little, I guess you would call it a sitting room off of the
primary suite.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, mother. And my husband kept telling me like, hey, we can make this room into your own space. And I thought, well, okay, but I don't even have like a sewing table. And it started out, I hung two little shelves on the wall and it held some stuff. And there was, when I was in high school, mom got me a vanity and there was a mirror attached to it. And we took that mirror off and we made it my sewing table. And it is still my sewing table.
It's a Pottery Barn. They might even still sell it.
They might even still sell it. It's a Pottery Barn kids
vanity.
Teen vanity. Yeah. And I still sew on that thing. But no, it's just over time, my husband went in, he ripped out all the old carpet and he put in floors one time. And then we did those Billy bookshelves from IKEA.
Right.
And then he framed them with all this stuff with wood. And it's just kind of like grown and developed. And you can see it in the video, but it's taken 6 years for me to develop it into something that is exactly how I want it. But
it's really beautiful.
And it's beautiful.
You have a large walk-in closet right off of that.
Right
that
off
is
of
your
it.
Own closet. And so you're able to keep storage in there right by that space.
Yeah.
It's really ideal.
Yeah. But I think my point is just like, it started out not that and it was still okay.
Right.
But it's grown. My ideal setting wasn't at the kitchen table, if I'm being honest.
Right.
And now I have a sewing space that is ideal because, and it's still small.
Right.
It's a lot small. It's like 1/4 of the size of mom's, I would think, like, or 1/3. But it works and it's functional.
Where do you iron? Do you just do it on that cutting table or do you have an ironing board somewhere else?
I have an ironing board and I whip it out.
Okay.
And I whip it out every single time I need to iron. Like right now it's up because I'm using it every day.
So if there was one that you could somehow, I don't know if there's space in there on the wall that you could pull down, would that be
Mason
an upgrade?
Totally wanted to do that, but I have other plans in mind that could be happening within the next couple years. So I'm hoping to add on to my sewing room, just straight out the back and add.
Yeah.
For more space
because I would like to have it be an office as well. Cause I'm doing just as much of that work as I am sewing with the business. So, but no, I mean, I could, but right now I feel like I have created an ideal sewing setting for me and it works great and it's functional.
Yeah. I love it. It's very cheerful over
Thank you. And there's a picture of it in the new Home for the Holidays book.
Yes.
I noticed that. I was like, oh, it's in the book.
Yeah. So we did a little bit of the photography for that book, the food photography and a little bit from your space and mine.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Mom, why don't you talk about
Mom's is the best
when you had a young family, like when, like, cause I have memories, obviously the first quilt you made was for me. And I remember actually the table is right behind me here in the studio still that you were telling me this was in your bedroom.
Yep.
That's where your sewing machine was. And I remember as a kid seeing the sewing machine in your bedroom.
Yep.
But then when you would like actually work on the quilt, I remember you guys going downstairs with my great grandma and setting up a big thing. And I thought it was like a fort and I would run under it. But it seems like you made do with space. You didn't really have a big designated area at all.
Yeah, no. I had my sewing machine in my bedroom for years and years. And then I would work that quilt that I made you, I tied it. So I had the quilt frames set up in our formal living room and left it there while I tied
it. I remember it.
And then you guys would all play under it too. And I also did a lot of sewing. I feel like even though I had it in my upstairs, I feel like I did move the sewing machine sometimes downstairs onto the dining table in that house because all of you were downstairs. And if I wanted to sew while you were all awake, I had to be on the same floor of the house with
parallels.
You.
Parallels.
Yes.
Yeah, parallels. Same idea. And so, I do remember you having it downstairs on the dining table too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I would move the sewing machine and move all the stuff.
I'm having flashbacks.
We did. We like, had a good so closet. Crazy. Yeah, downstairs in that house where I had fabrics in plastic bins and boxes. So, but yeah, and in fact, even when we moved, at one point we moved, I had the sewing machine when we moved out where we live now, our first house out here, I had the sewing machine back in my room.
For a little while.
For a little while. And then we did an addition and I did kind of an office slash sewing room. So the computer and the sewing machine were in the same room.
That's where I sewed my first baby quilt.
Yeah.
And it was not a good experience.
I'm so sorry. And then we built a house out here. And I, as soon as my oldest daughter left for college, I took over her room.
She moved right in there, you guys.
Like the day of, like...
Where was your sewing machine before? Because, I mean, she was there for a couple years before.
It was in that room by the kitchen.
Oh, that is. Where you would stay. Because I never was like an official resident of that house. I had, after I graduated high school, we were still in that other house.
Right.
And I do remember you had the sewing machine in there.
Yep.
But when my sister Candace left, yeah, I remember. It was like, she was like out the door and mom was already moving her stuff. Yeah.
Moving in. Poor girl. Like
that day, because the lighting was so great in that, the lighting was good in that room in those front bedrooms.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, well, from my perspective, oh, this woman is going to be right next to my bedroom all day and all night. And I was not thrilled. I was not thrilled.
Well, and I remember when the three younger kids were choosing their rooms, I remember giving Candace the first choice.
You did.
And she picked that room. And then when you were going, I was like, no, you're never going to move into that room because that's going to be my sewing room. So pick carefully because you're staying where you pick.
Because the room of Candace's had built-in bookshelves for her books. Candace is a reader. And so that's why she chose it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I ended up putting fabric on those shelves after.
That room is our very early videos that you can still see. Right. The very first,
With the aqua walls. Mm-hmm,
videos. Yeah. That was the room that we're talking about.
And mom was like, she painted that aqua with a smile on her face and she put wood floors in there. Yeah. And
I actually got the paint color from Camille Ross Kelly. I called her up and said, hey, what color is your sewing room? I love it. And I painted it the same color and did the wood floors, and it was a great space. It was just very small. That room was really only 9 feet by 10 feet.
Yeah.
So it was a very small space, but it you know, it was my space and it was great.
And
so,
it worked.
Yeah.
And you spent most of a very long time sewing in that space, creating your business and growing, and which is just a testament to it didn't even need to be a huge space. You still made it work. And I will admit, though, when you walked in there, it looked like fabric had exploded in the place because she had like, oh, well, I got these boards over here for this project and this. Things were stacked on top of each other.
Too much. Yeah.
Well, and what year did Candace move out then? Did she like 2008?
Did she graduate in 2007?
Okay.
2007.
And so, and you started sewing in the mid-90s, so it took you like 20 years or a little more than 20 years
to get a space
to where you actually had your first ever designated, this room is for sewing and sewing only,
right?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I started my blog in 2008, so just about a year after she went to school is when I started my blog, and that led to the business side of it. So, and then when we sold our house that we're talking about now, we went into a rental for a short time. And that is, there was a room right off the front entry set up as kind of maybe an office or a den. I took that for my sewing room. That's when I bought the Billy bookcases.
Yes.
Because there was no store, that room didn't even have a closet. So, yeah. And then when we purchased this house, I just knew immediately which room was the sewing room because of the lighting.
Yeah.
It had two, it was the only room in the house that had two
windows
other than the primary bedroom. But, and so I was just like, hey, that's the sewing room.
This is it.
Yeah. And it was 16 by 16. Well, about 16 and a half by 16 and a half with a really nice closet. So
yeah. And you even showed me something new that everyone, I'm sure, will see in the video, but new this morning, like you're still doing things to it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Jerry did such a good job on that piece of furniture. And
yeah.
I can't wait for everyone to see it in the video. It's awesome. Yeah.
So he built, the first year that we moved in here, he did a built-in unit in a space that was kind of indented. It was like it was meant for a built-in.
Yeah.
And he put shelves and a couple cupboards at the bottom. And then this year he came back and he did a whole set of cupboards and drawers that you see now behind me in the videos. But then he also redid all the shelving in the closet. And when he was almost done, I showed him this picture of an ironing station with shelves. And I think the company is Tracy's Tables. And I just showed him the picture and I said, because they were 6 or 8 months out, you could purchase from them, but they said, you know, sorry, it's 6 or 8 months. And then, so I showed him the picture and he just brought it over yesterday, actually. And he went above and beyond that picture and three drawers, three shelves, a beautiful large surface open in the middle. So I could actually put a bar stool there and sit there.
Yeah.
And use it as a little table. It's just perfect. I haven't even put anything in the drawers yet. So it's going to be fun to get even more organized before we film that video for you. So, but I did have some thoughts on this actually that I wanted to share about an ideal sewing space, because I actually took this from a podcast. Let me just get my notes. I looked this up last night after Billy sent us the topic. But this was a podcast that was really on organizing your office, and it's the focus on this podcast, episode 53, if you want to look it up. But
what's the name of the podcast?
Focus on This.
Oh, Focus on This is the name.
It's the Michael Hyatt and Company podcast. They have the Full Focus Planners. And I really love their podcast because it's just usually a 30-minute listen. And it's always on organizing and business, and I can apply everything to sewing. But anyway, this episode 53 was all about organizing your space. And even though they were talking about office, I applied it all to the sewing room. And so I'm just going to, they had these five principles. Number one, schedule a time to declutter. And I feel like that's so important because even right now, like it was great for me to take some of that stuff down to California and donate it. Before I'm doing the final organization in the room, I've got some of that stuff out. Number two, put everything in one place. So if you have a space, or even if you don't have a space, put all of your sewing stuff on the floor or on a table in one room. Put it all in one place. And then just kind of, they said, look, make a list of natural groupings and categories.
Is that still topic two?
This is number three.
Oh.
So two is put everything in one place. Three is make a list of natural groupings and categories. So maybe it's pre-cuts, rulers, threads. Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were talking about office supplies, things like that.
Pens, pencils.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, thread.
Yeah.
Fat quarter bundles. You know, make a list of how those kind of group together naturally. And then step four is deciding where it's all going to go when you either put it back into your space or containerize it to store in a closet, you know, if you're sewing on the kitchen table. And they had five zones. So number one is you use it every day. You want it right close. So the things that I use every day are very available to me in my sewing room.
Yeah.
Number two, you use frequently. They're within reach, but maybe they're not right on the table or right in that drawer right there. But they're also within reach. Number three, use occasionally. Okay, so my use occasionally, it kind of depends.
Stored a little bit more.
It could be stored. It could be in the closet, right? Or a closet.
Yeah, it's accessible, but it's...
Right. Rarely used, but you still need it. So I feel like I've got some things that fit into that category, specialty rulers that maybe I use once or twice a year.
Yeah.
In the closet, you know? And then things that you never use, just donate it.
Oh!
Yeah. Just gone. Get rid of it.
It's done, people.
Yep. Zone five is donate. And then their fifth step is just to get it done. And so I just loved that. You know, it applied to business and office, but
I love that.
Made it work with my sewing room. And I'm kind of doing the final sweep through before we film the video about that. So
I did love, though, at the end of this, contributing to the ideal setting, Billy put, do you listen to music? Do you listen to a podcast? Do you have candles? I love that he put candles or essential oils. And then he put, do you feel like going for a walk or getting exercise prior to quilting to help you focus better? Meditation. I'm like, oh my goodness. I love that he put all this.
Yeah. Outside of the physical.
Yes. Outside of the physical.
Yeah.
But I do. Music is really important to me. And I just got a new iPod for my birthday, and you should have seen me on there.
Did you say iPod?
iPod! Well,
Billy's like, do they make those anymore?
Well, Sean, you said the same thing. I do know they make them. I know you said the same thing. Sean said the same thing to me, too. He was like, it's not an iPod, Chelsea. It's an iTouch. And I'm like, well, I don't know. But I did. Mine broke. I was sewing one day, and it fell out of my pocket and cracked the entire screen. It was done, and Mason surprised me for my birthday with a new one, and I have just been playing the tunes, you guys, and getting stuff done. So music is mine, but
yeah. I usually listen to podcasts when I'm cutting things out or even pressing, ironing, sewing, but sometimes, you know, if I'm in the sewing room a lot and I don't know, I've just listened to too many podcasts, then I'll go to music.
Yeah.
So
I'm just so animated while I sew. Like, I wish people could see me. I'm always like singing and dancing. And like, I think Finn thinks I'm crazy.
But that's fun.
I'm strange.
Do you ever feel like there is a point where you need to turn, like, again, yes. I'm not a quilter or sewer, but when I'm doing other things, like when I had something I needed to write, like sometimes I can write things or plan things with some music on, but other times I'm like, I need to turn everything off to have like full focus. I don't know if do you ever get like that in your quilting where you need like complete silence or
ring ding ding.
Yeah.
Me.
Sometimes I think
sometimes
I do.
I'd say 25% of the time I'm in complete silence.
Okay.
And I don't know why that happened. Actually, that's interesting. I don't know why that happens, but it's just my brain is like, you don't need anything right now but this.
Right.
Like,
if I do anything that has math involved, I feel I can't have music going.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I'm not like a math guru or anything, but I can do it. But if I am going to do, like if I'm just doing, I don't know, something with the spreadsheet or I'm trying to add or subtract or divide something, you know, finances, whatever, I'm like, I need to actually have quiet. I don't know if that was similar to quilting because you guys do some math measuring and everything.
Yeah.
But that might just be me.
Maybe I do that too.
That might just be me.
I'm going to take note of that next
time. Yeah. No, if I'm designing quilt patterns or writing quilt patterns, or I can't have anything.
Yeah.
It has to be quiet.
Yes, yes, yes. When that type of work. I'm typing up a pattern. Yeah.
Or when I'm blogging, I can't have any music on.
It's on because, you need your own thoughts. Like you don't, because when you're listening to a pod, you're like thinking about other thoughts. You need to be focused on your thoughts.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so.
I loved that, though. I was like, oh, yes. Billy, so, setting the vibe is what I was feeling.
So
when
you're
he
mostly
wrote
music.
Down.
Mom's mostly podcasts.
Yes.
Sometimes you guys switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. Lately, no, I can't watch shows and can't. It's been hard for me to do that.
I've seen some people who watch shows. I think Camille does that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't watch a show while I'm sewing. I just can't.
Because especially if it's a show I like.
Right.
Like, I want to know, what was that person's expression when they said that comment? I'm very into it.
Right.
Even when I'm reading a book. Sometimes I will read a paragraph three times because I'm like, whoa, what? Like, I have to reread it because I'm so invested in the book and want to catch it just right how it was said or maybe how the person felt and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I don't do those things well.
Yeah. So interesting.
Well, what about the whole exercise walk thing? Like, I'm speaking from the outside, but when I know I need to focus on something, like, again, I mentioned it in the other podcast, getting a walk, like, sort of sets me in to where I'm more I'm more focused, and there's a lot of people that would suggest getting exercise early or something helps the brain focus on the tasks that you have throughout the day. So I don't know if that's helped you guys in the sewing room. I feel that contributes to the sewing setting.
See, I wish I would do that because I would much rather go take a walk in the morning, but I don't. I do it in the afternoon. I'm almost like my mindset is like, okay, if I get all of these things done, then I'm going to go. Like, I feel like taking a walk is such a treat for me.
It's like a reward after the day.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's a reward after the day. And I am very excited to have that time to go do that. So
I love it when I make time to do that in the morning. And I don't know why I don't always do it. I'm not really a morning person, but still, if you want to take a walk here in the summer, you need to go by 6.
You have to do it in the morning.
Yeah. 7 at the latest.
That's true.
And I feel like I do that more in the summer because I think it's because my mind knows if you don't go walking now, it'll be too hot.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I do that better in the summer. In the winter, in the fall, and the spring, I'm kind of like, oh, well, I could take a walk later tonight.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, and then it'll sometimes don't. It'll be so nice. Because then it's like you're done with your day and you don't. Yeah. So I do a really good job of that in the heat, taking those morning walks.
Yeah.
So.
And do you feel it helps?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I need to do it more. I need to make it a higher priority.
The exercise is really a good mental thing. Yes. Yeah. It's like I feel much better. I'm not as stressed and whatever. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say exercise plays into that, but I am not a morning person.
Right.
I'm going to sleep in.
Yeah. Most people in our family aren't morning people. Except for Sean.
He's different. Yeah.
There was another comment left by someone who, you know, from the last episode saying, hey, she gets up at 3. She's in your Patreon group as well.
Oh.
But she's like, I get up at 3 in the morning and do my sewing before I go to work at 7. But she's like, it was interesting listening to your take on sleep, but she says she's asleep by 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So, right.
Like I said, you know, last episode, there are people that are perfectly, they feel fine getting up early. They probably do go to sleep a lot earlier and it's easy for them to go to sleep, but it's whatever works for you. And that's why, my mom or my sister's settings or the way they do things, like you said, your other friend watches shows and you guys can't do that. You know, it's what works for you. There's no universal thing, you know.
So I was going to say, I'm wrangling my children into bed at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And they're like yelling at me, it's still light outside. No, it's not. Close your blinds. I'm like, go to bed.
Yeah.
But I don't stay up late and sew anymore. I go to bed. Yeah. I'm asleep. I sew during the day now.
Yeah, I never sew late at night anymore.
But with young kids.
We both used to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another change in your setting.
Yeah,
right.
When Finn was born, I'd have him in my lap, rocking him and sewing with one hand, like just sewing at night and, you know, and I have pictures too.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah, no, this was a really great topic to share. And then, you know, as we will be filming that video, I'll have even more to share kind of as I talk about. For instance, I'm so glad I didn't buy any storage containers until the very end. Once the closet was done, I bought a few. And now that I'm almost to the end, I think there are only 2 more little baskets or bins I need to purchase.
Proud of you.
And so I really, because it's so tempting and you see all the organizing shows and books and, I'm just going to go out and buy all these bins. Well, no, I've been able to repurpose lots and lots of things that I have. And now I just have, you know, like I said, 2 or 3 that I'm going to measure the dimensions and get the biggest container that will fit in that space.
See, I am very that, but in all things. Like, I want, my husband was like, well, we could do this. And I'm like, nope, not until we reach said goals that we were talking about.
Right.
But I also do that, like, in the kitchen. The other day, he was like, we don't have a whisk. And I said, just use that attachment to the Bosch that I have. And he's like, we could buy a whisk. I'm like, it's fine.
Maybe
we
should buy you a whisk for your birthday to the gift I already gave you.
I'm nuts though. Like, but remember I won't say steal. I took your potato masher.
Oh yeah. You had the potato masher for years.
I still have it.
You still have it?
I think I do.
Oh my goodness.
Like I just was like,
I'm going to call it stealing, Chelsea. You've gone past this, the limitation of borrowing.
Billy says this all the time. He's like, Chelsea takes everything. Like,
actually, a but few I won't of your new siblings one. Have all said at different times, you know, if something ever happens to you, like Chelsea will have the house cleaned out before we get there.
If we're sorry. On to you.
Yes.
No, it's a good thing Billy's in charge. Yeah. I don't have a say.
So anyway, yeah, this was a great topic.
Yeah.
And you guys are right. It took plenty of time. So we still, that other topic.
I we'll can talk save more it. About it too.
We'll save it for another future episode. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our next episode airs Monday, May 23rd. So watch for us then.
Oh, and there will be the third one again, so we'll do another call out for. We've got some great questions already that have come in, but on the 30th will be the listener question episode. So
cool,
keep sending them in if you want, or put them in the comments or email.
Yeah. Right, comments or email, either one is great, and we'll grab them. I've got a little file started with some that have come in over the past couple
of
weeks.
Of course, we can
always use more. So, and sometimes the questions are similar, but they give us different angles. So that we can give a more complete answer. So never feel shy about sending that in.
Please, we love them.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks so much for stopping by.